Hello everyone, welcome to Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends, the podcast where I speak to people much more interesting than myself. Please enjoy. Hello everyone and welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. I'm joined today by a bit of a legend in the old fitness here in NI. I'm joined by Emma Brennan. Emma, hello.
Hi, how are you doing, Darren?
I'm glad. Emma, you're joining me. You're joining me from your brand new facility, which you opened before everything had to close, and you opened a brand new gym.
Oh my God! I mean, it really couldn't have come at a worse time. We opened the doors just slightly before Christmas. There, brand new high performance gym in Carriduff. We had a fantastic membership there. I'm really starting to gain a wee bit of traction, getting our classes going. People in through the doors that have never had a gym membership before, coming through the doors, getting fit and healthy. It was just really starting to take off before the Easter lift as well. You know, people think right after Christmas it's going to be super busy. It's not. It'll take a month or two after Christmas before people have the money and the inclination. Yeah. So we literally were really on a very good footing there, and next thing, we had to close.
Brilliant. So, well, give it for the lovely listeners at home, give me the full name of the facility, because I only know you as Alpha Trainer at NI from when I attended class there. What's the new project called, or what's the new place?
Yeah, so Alpha Training NI would have been is still our training company, and that we provide qualifications, internationally recognized qualifications in the fitness industry. Then we decided that we really needed our own facility to be able to offer those qualifications in the highest standard facilities possible, and also be able to offer that training out and allow students to come in, have a bit of time under the wing, get some experience and work experience with us. So we opened up a facility called Alpha High Performance Gym, and it's a high performance gym, but it's not off-putting. It's got everything we need here, and again, it allows students to take time, get some learning under their wing before going out into the industry.
How is it? How did you find the balance of trying to find quite literally a gym that everyone can use, but also a teaching facility, but also your mum can go, but also you're going to do, I mean, you guys have got like powerlifters and stuff. So it's a real broad spectrum, but the place is massive, isn't it? You went really big on it.
Yeah. I mean, possibly huge, too fast, too soon. But do you know what? When you might as well shoot for the stars and get the sun and moon, you know. So we opened it's 7,000 square feet. We have a variety of gym equipment, whether it's cardio based and free weights, but we also have space there for our training academy. We have treatment rooms as well for individuals and teams to come through. So we offer a range of sports massage, dry needling therapies as well. So there's the opportunity there for people to get recovery work done. And then one of the rooms we've literally turned into a fully calibrated fitness powerlifting suite. So we're really going to focus on the whole strength training, powerlifting, strongman side of things, running boot camps. Because I really do think there's an appetite out there, particularly within females, to look towards that strength training now, the strongman, strongwoman training. And we've now got the team from Berserker across, and they're happy to join forces. So that's what I'm looking to do. I find that with collaboration, only better things happen. You know, we get strength drawn from each other and each other's strengths. Yeah, and I've reached out to a number different parties to see, do they want to join forces over the next wee while, and we'll see what happens.
Is it strange to try and find the balance of healthy competition, and also, I mean, it's obviously the whole thing where not everybody's going to the mountaintop, but if we're all pushing each other up, you all have to provide better quality, right? There's got to be so many, especially in the fitness industry. I mean, I worked in fitness for about a year, and the amount of bullshit I found, and that was just me in the learning process. But I was learning from working in gyms and meeting other trainers, and you have to sort of figure out yourself what's good and useful for helping a client, and what's is a fad, or like the stuff that's online has to be so dangerous. Yeah. Like, you have your own facility, but anyone can call themselves a PT, but where's your qualification? Where's your experience? How do you find that? Is it frustrating whenever you're training people to be the best and anyone can say it?
And this is it. I mean, like, here's the thing. Anybody can say they're the best. And, you know, anybody that thinks they're the best, Jesus, you know, you have a lot more to learn. You know, I'm training people and yet my education never stops. I'm never stopping saying, I've learned all I need to learn. I'll always need to learn. And the thing is, the standard of the students coming through is just that much higher these days, because information is so widely available on the internet, YouTube, you know, textbooks are online, you know, information isn't limited anymore, you know, and so you have to stay ahead of the curve. You need to keep training yourself. And here's the thing, you open a gym will open next door to you. You open a restaurant will open next to you. You just have to provide a better service or something that is tailored to the group that you want to bring in through the door. And, you know, I think there's room for all of us. There's no point being bitchy in this industry. There's no space for it. People will do what they'll do. And all you can do is just offer the best that you can and hope that it's going to meet the needs. And bottom line is if people keep coming back, and longevity, you know, results, producing some of the highest qualified PTs out there, those that are going on to be extremely successful and that are literally booked out all week. That's a measure of success. But like, I think the bottom line is how do you leave people feeling? Do they feel good about themselves? Do they feel better for training with you? Do they feel better for having a qualification from you? That's the bottom line. Do you leave people feeling good? And that includes your competitors. Because, you know, there's always room to be respectful to everybody in the industry.
Yeah, well, I ended up getting I have my level two, which I did in Alpha training before I headed up. Well, 2018 before I went away off on my travels again. I pretty much did my level two because I was interested in working in the gym, and also I found that it helped me a lot more. I learned a lot more just about the body in general and about how gyms work. And it helped me when I was training. So that was something I wanted to do. I know people have done the same, have gone far further than me, even to become fully trained PTs, just to look after themselves, just to know more.
Yeah.
So as you're saying, like, the information is always there. But with the current climate of what you're, I mean, obviously you have the facility there, which only now you can use because of social distancing. So you've got your own private gym. Well done. You've got a bigger gym than The Rock. Nice one.
I mean, literally, I'm in here training most days or taking online PT sessions or group exercise sessions, you know, just to keep our members involved and still working. I mean, a lot of our members, you know, whether they have physical or medical issues or mental health issues, they still need to be training. So whatever I can do to help them with that and keep them engaged, that's what I need to do. But yeah, most days I'm spent in here on my own. In the gym, in a big echoey gym with music on, dancing in between sets all by myself. So.
Well, I mean, the good news is at least you get to pick the music. This is always something I had a great argument with whenever I worked in the gym. So it would be like we would take turns about who was picking what. But I used to really love, I worked in the gym down in Newry, and when they closed on a Saturday, I would do the cleanup and then I would train myself. So I'd lock the door, I'd put on some heavy metal, and I had the place to myself for an hour. It was brilliant, you know what I mean?
Well, no, honestly, we had a student that came through and, you know, he thought he would never use circuits because he only listened to heavy metal. And I said to him, do your circuit to heavy metal, by all means. You know, the kind of people that are going to come to you for circuits aren't the kind of people that are going to go to me for circuits. They're going to want to hear your music. So do it. And he goes, can I? Can I really do that? I was like, we're here to make you qualified in what you want to provide. You know, to the people that want to come and train with you, you know, we're not here to create cheesy 80s, you know, aerobics instructors, you know.
Whoa, what's wrong? Oh, you said aerobics. Okay, I was going to say, what's wrong with the 80s, but that's fine. I'm from the 80s. Watch what I see.
Aerobics instructors, you know, so
fair enough.
So Mr. Motivator and all that there. But like, yeah, at the end of the day is, you know, can you, you know, put on music, motivate yourself, and get going. You know, I'm sure my music isn't everybody's taste either.
Not too bad. I mean, I got my spin qualification through yous as well. I always wondered whether there'd be a way of, can I have a rock and roll spin class? I wonder, is that, I don't know if it would suit for your RPMs, you know?
That would be awesome. Some good tunes out there, like.
Yeah, that's true as well.
But I mean, honestly, you take even the soundtrack of Rock and Roller. Sure, there's some class tunes on that would go well for spin.
Yeah, we'll get something on the go. So how are you finding it? How did you have to adapt the business to? Because, I mean, you were always offering an online, but now it's, I mean, are you talking to individual clients and go, right, what do you have in your house that we can use? I'm sure there's a lot more body weight stuff going on, or you're like, fill a bucket of water, we're doing goblet squats, you know, that kind of way.
I mean, literally, I've come up with, basically a grocery list of like the tin of beans workout, the bag of flour workout, the whatever, you know. So, literally, I am contacting the people and saying, what do you have? What do you have that we can use? And so whether I'm doing individual online PT, obviously I wasn't an online PT and it wouldn't have been my thing. It certainly wouldn't have been something I particularly advocated either. But, you know, actually, you know, you live and you learn. So, yes, I've been doing programs for people who just want to train and they've been sorting me because they just want the program done so they have something to do. Other people want this interaction over video messenger or Zoom, and you know, they want you to train with them, or they want you to talk them through their, you know, they just want that contact, that interaction, you know. So it's learning a whole new way of communicating, adapting, shouting at screens.
Yeah.
Working out what they have and how can I make them still fit and strong and not lose their gains and not lose motivation. How do I motivate them through a video camera now, you know, how do I manage a whole group together on video camera? Like,
I know there's entire football teams doing, still keeping up their strength and conditioning work on Zoom.
Awesome.
I know a few that are doing that, and it's pretty much a strength and conditioning coach comes on, tells everyone to mute their mic, and then he can see everybody. And he's like, right, here we go. Yeah. And you might just be in your living room or in your kitchen or out in your back garden with a bit of space. And you go, right, here's what we're going to do. And it's mostly moving into, you know, just keeping everybody ticking over.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, you know, we're sitting there doing our group exercise and there could be, you know, birds tweeting in the background and there's cats jumping in front of the camera. And, you know, like it's just a whole new world, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Are you doing as many hours now as you were when you guys were trying to set up the facility? Because I mean, I'm on your Facebook, so your constant updates of another 18 hour day.
Yeah, well, I mean, the initial setup of the gym was phenomenal. I mean, we were going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and back up at 6, and you know, the setup of this facility nearly broke me, if I'm honest. Like, it was tight. But we got it done, and then we were doing it, and it was starting to settle. And in all honesty, you know, people are saying, like, they can't wait to get back to work. And I'm thinking, fuck, when am I going to get this break? You know, because I've actually been so busy because I've been trying to work out what aspects of courses can I offer in terms of the classroom-based modules that I can offer over video. So one of the things with Alpha is our genuine belief in that qualifications need to be offered face-to-face in a classroom, on the gym floor. We don't advocate online training as in, you know, here's some videos, go and learn yourself here. Give me some money and you go and tutor yourself. Sure, that's grand. And sure, there's nobody to ask questions, there's nobody to stop, there's nobody to pause. You know, my attitude is I want those students in front of me. So what I'm still trying to do is do that, but do that over video messenger or Zoom, and, you know, offer the online parts that I can, and then set a date when we know that the movement restrictions are lifted to do the practical sides on the other side of the shitstorm. and just pick up the pieces there. So we're not losing the quality or the integrity of what I believe Alpha represents, and I don't really want to compromise on the integrity of what we offer. So between the online stuff in terms of offering certain amounts of it still online, and then offer my one-to-one PTs and group exercise, I've never been busier. So
yeah, well, you know, I mean, from the learning aspect, one of the things I really, really enjoyed about whenever I did my study up there for my level two was actually meeting the other guys who were doing it.
Yeah.
So it was nice to network with those people. I'm still in touch with quite a few of the guys as well, and they're all off working in different parts of Ireland and stuff. And it's great. It's nice to be, and then because people can contact you, being like, here, we need a guy down here, or can you do this? Or it's not bad. You know what I mean? It's all good.
Like, the thing is, peer-to-peer learning is some of the best learning that you can get. When you are sat at home on your own going through your learning, you're losing something of that experience of being with people that have a genuine passion as well. And, you know, that idea of pulling each other through, or somebody repeating something in a way that suddenly you go, I never thought of it like that before. And it clicks, or they just said in a way that, you know, they've just made it so much easier to understand. You know, sometimes I could be saying it one way and it's just not going through. Somebody else says, oh, blah, 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 and it just clicks, you know. So that peer-to-peer learning is seriously important. And again, even having peers, you know, doing the I'll coach you, you coach me out on the gym floor, that's really important. You pick up wee bits or things that you like what other people are doing, or the opposite. You go, ooh, well, I probably wouldn't coach that, you know, like that, or, you know, you know. So I think, you know, you need to be with each other, and you develop friendships and, you know, a wee group in and of itself, you know, that you can always touch base with or run things past. That's important.
Yeah. What, I mean, going forward, you have to wait obviously to see what the restrictions are going to be, but are you really looking forward to just getting the gym where you can just open the doors again and go, right, let's get back to it? Because obviously, people will be coming out, and I mean, some people have been really looking after themselves obviously during this, but I'd say there's going to be a lot of people who probably want to go back to the gym. I'm one of them. I know that. Even though I have lost a bit of weight while I'm in here, I'm certainly not doing any training, and football is going to restart, and I have done bugger all because I was working flat out before and doing loads of gigs. Then we got locked in the house. I'm just like, where is this motivation I'm supposed to have? So actually, when we finish the podcast, can I come down and just get a bar off you in a couple? You doing any rentals? Can I borrow a couple of dumbbells? No one else is using them. I'd be all right, wouldn't it?
A couple of kettlebells.
Yeah.
But like, that's the thing. People think that the movement restrictions are going to lift and gyms are going to have queues out the door. I don't think people are thinking about this properly. I mean, we're probably looking at a phasing where we may be allowed one-to-one PT. You know, again, if you're not allowed to sing when you go to mass, you know, how are you going to heavy breathe on each other in a group exercise scenario or a spin, you know? You know, where you literally have the whole of your body sweat over a bike and on the floor, you know? So gyms, I think, are going to be along with bars and restaurants, are going to be some of the worst hit, I think. Yeah, I mean, we'll probably be allowed to get the individual one-to-one PTs going relatively quickly, or some amount of social distancing, as in people need to book slots to attend and all of that. And that's grand. I mean, we'll do what we have to do to survive. But, you know, I genuinely do hope, I think people forget as well, people have got into a new way of training. People have got used to going outside. They're going for runs. They're going for cycles. They're, you know, they've heavily invested, a lot of people, in gym equipment for their house. They've got used to training at their house and being able to manage that. All I hope is that people want a different environment in which to train, a more motivating or supportive, or and really miss the community of what they had in their gym. And I think that's what I really want to promote then, is that's the angle I'm going to be going with, is a training community. You know, hopefully people have missed the training community, and that's what they want to go back to, for that kind of more specialist support. I hope that's all. Yeah. I can hope, and honestly I cannot wait to get the doors back open. I think it's literally, I've handled it pretty well because, you know, I've had so much to do, but I think yesterday was one of the first days when I genuinely did feel a bit of a pull on the heartstrings to think, I need my doors open. I really need my doors open. I'm not surviving well. I'm not doing well without my friends, without the contact. My business thrives because, you know, of the kind of people walking in through the door and having a community here and being part of a community. Students as well. The students are a really good community for each other as well. And, you know, I really feel like I'm starting to miss that, and the business is missing that, you know. So, yeah, the sooner I get things back to normal, the better.
One of the things I really did enjoy when I worked in the gym myself was meeting the members, because obviously I've got my level 2, so I wasn't, you know, PTing and taking classes. I was sort of first person to meet through the door, and it was more so first point of contact. But it was really nice to meet all the members and how you doing, keeping good, man on the desk, it's over there, you need this, anything you need. It's nice to be able to do that and to actually get chatting with people and meeting people. Because everybody in gyms are in for different fitness goals. And it's always nice to, as well, just have a chat with them about what they're in for. And it's nice to be able to advise and help. Because not everybody wants to, you know, the other day I lifted 501 kilograms. Not everybody wants to do that. I did a lot of my training for mental health reasons. It was just to keep me sane, you know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, I have to admit, like, you know, it was for those reasons that I got into the whole fitness industry, you know. I was going through an Equality Commission court case, and you know, I used fitness and training to keep myself sane so as I didn't have to use anything else, you know, as in going on antidepressants and things like that, you know. It was an entirely, like, an incredibly stressful period of my life. So the fitness aspect was hugely important, and it gave me a sense of control, and you know, it actually ended up being something that gave me a whole new career, you know. So and you know, from that whole experience, my thing is, you know, I'm here to help other people, whether that's through their physical fitness, their qualifications, about opening doors for people, you know.
Do you, one of the things as well from about how much work you do and the stuff you put up online as well, do you have a really understanding family or just a team of butlers that run the house? How do you
know that? I do. I've a really understanding family. I mean, between, you know, my husband, he picks up a lot of slack. Like, he's there making dinners and looking after the kids. But in all fairness, the kids are incredible. They love to be involved in a lot of the stuff that I do. So quite often they'll sit and help me plan out training programs, you know, as in Wii Circuits, and they've helped me even with certain courses. Like we have a level 2 qualification now for physical activity and exercise for children. My kids genuinely helped me develop that qualification. Trying it out, testing it out, making up the rules, making up templates, all of that. So they're fantastic. And I've a mum and dad that would literally give me the sun and moon and stars if they could, you know. So, I mean, they're absolutely incredible. It does take a lot of balancing work, you know, to get everything. And it works sometimes and it doesn't work sometimes. And, you know, people talk about mummy guilt, and it's not necessarily that I have mummy guilt, you know, because, you know, I love what I do and I love my kids, but, you know, sometimes you just genuinely, they're good kids and I just miss them. I just miss them some days, you know, and some days are harder than others, you know, because just trying to keep everything in balance can be tight, can be hard.
I come from a family of 4, and I was always amazed by my mother when I was growing up, because she worked full time for the Social Security office in Uri, and they would come home, cook dinner for everybody, get you fed, get you washed, clean clothes, never asked for anything. Now, we were all eventually trained how not to be useless ourselves. So me and the 3 brothers can, everyone can cook, clean and iron. So that's always a good quality to have. I'll make a fine wife someday. But the whole point of that was, I was always amazed by that. So finding that balance as well, because it's obviously, it's definitely different where you're running the classes and the school and the gym. You're adding more, you know, there's more feathers to the bow as you go.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I mean, I the kids are fantastic. I mean, they know how to get up, dress themselves, brush their teeth. They do their homeschooling really well. They do know how to make their own snacks, all that kind of stuff. You know, they're really self-sufficient, independent, happy wee kids, and I'm lucky to have that. But, you know, I have at times, you know, because they're 7 and 9 now, and I have sat with them and I've said to them, you know, how do you feel about mummy and how much she works? You know, do you need more time for me? Would you prefer me to close the gym and just open somewhere where I do sports massage or one-to-one PT? You know, I've talked things over with them and said, what, you know, do you need more time with mummy? Do you need mummy to do anything different? I mean, you know, just around Christmas time, you know, things were tight and I did have every conversation under the sun, you know, because I was overwhelmed by, you know, the gym, getting opened, trying to balance everything, early mornings, late nights, everything just became so much more. And, you know, I sat down and looked at my options, and the kids' attitude is, no, mummy, we're so proud of you. You know, you've got your gym and you've always wanted, this is your hopes, this is your dreams, this is what you've always wanted. And I mean, only for them, they were saying like, no, please don't give up on your dreams. Please, you know, we're fine, we're good. And don't get rid of the gym, stay with the gym. You know, and they just can't wait. Like Finn is like counting down the days till he's 16 to become a sports massage therapist and work at Alpha. You know, he's working, I told him he can have a summer job from when he's 14, and he's literally counting down the days to that. Eva's the same. Eva's into gymnastics and contortion, and her body is just unbelievable how she can move it. And she can't wait until she can go into that side of things of movement and biomechanics and stuff like that. She wants to be part of that. You know, so they want to be part of Alpha, and they feel that this is some kind of a legacy that's going to come to them when they're older.
See, and this is probably better because my job, whenever my dad used to take me to work with him, was usually to clean up the garage because my dad used to fix cars. So yours is probably a bit of better crack than the job I had when I was younger.
Oh, I mean, they're like, Finn's asking me, like, you know, when we didn't know that the summer was going to be as messed up as it is, you know, that we were going to have kids clubs and kids classes, and could he be the leader for it, and could he do some of the planning for it? I mean, they're highly involved in what I do, and they love what I do, and they're so proud and so interested, and we'll maybe go over little bits of anatomy and physiology in the evenings, and, you know, they're just always looking for ways to connect into what I do, and I'm very, very aware that that's unusual, and very aware that that's, you know, probably above and beyond what you should expect of kids and that relationship. But, you know, they just love what I do, and that's honestly, that's the only reason why I'm able to do what I am able to do, because they are interested and they love it, and they are proud of us having our own business, you know.
Yeah, but what can the bench?
Oh man, honestly, yeah, they are, well, no, Eva's supple, but I'd say Finn will be the strong one, you know.
I don't want to call down there and get beaten in an arm wrestle by a 10-year-old, so I'm gonna wait. I might get back to training myself before I come visit.
Eva would give you a pretty good run for your money.
Yeah,
honestly.
All right, leave me a kettlebell at the front, I'll be down there. No, that's okay. So, well, I mean, where can people find you online if they want to check out about the even maybe studying themselves, or eventually when you're able to reopen? Where are you based?
Yep. So, well, I have to admit, behind on the website at the moment, but I'll get the website sort of up to date very fast, because obviously the dates that are still on there still reflect our old calendar, but so obviously that's all going to have to get changed now. So I'll have to spend some time, but we can only adapt it and change it and plan for when we know we have a certain date, you know. So you know, so yeah, but we are on www.alphatrainingni.com or www.atpni.co.uk. We're on Facebook under Alpha Training NI, and we're on Facebook under Alpha High Performance Gym. And, you know, the best thing to do is either drop us a message or when restrictions are lifted, just, you know, take a trip down, come through the doors. What we're very lucky is anybody that comes through the doors, they there's just such a lovely feel to the gym, that they usually fall in love with the place, and anybody that joins doesn't seem to leave. So we're really, really lucky in that, you know. I think it's the rising sun. You don't get to leave when you join. But yeah, so people seem to come through the doors and want to stay. And the clients that we have and the members that we have, honest to goodness, they are just some of the most loyal people. You know, they didn't want to give up their memberships. And I'm saying to them, no, 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 that's fine. We can pause. We'll pick up on the other side, you know. So, yeah, so by all means, we're based in Carriduff, in Carriduff Business Park. We probably do need to promote a wee bit more about where we are. But it's easy parking, always easy to get, and free, handy, secure parking. So handy to get to. So hopefully people come down and see us when we get the doors back open again.
Okay, how you pitch that one is you say, Carriduff, only 20 minutes from Belfast.
Carriduff, only 20 minutes from Belfast.
It's worth a go. I mean, I live in Belfast now, so that's where I return to after my travels. But that was the thing. Also, if anyone wants to go down, if you are going to do a qualification with Alpha, you will meet the greatest teacher ever, which is the skeleton.
Oh, Henry.
Did Henry make it across to the new facility, yeah?
Oh, Henry the First and Henry the Second. We were able to reassemble Henry the First to a certain degree and Henry the Second. So we've Henry the First and Henry the Second. So we've two skeletons that, yeah, one for each room, for the training rooms. But yeah, best. Well,
I had to learn. I had to obviously do my exams on the old anatomy and physiology. So Henry taught me a lot, you know what I mean? Could probably still remember that rhyme of going down the body.
Well, yeah, indeed.
You have that.
Was it me that taught you the anatomy and physiology?
No, I did it with Shane.
With Shane, okay.
Yeah, I think you were that week. You were prepping, I think, a boxer for a fight, so you were probably sticking needles in people and rubbing out knots.
Oh, yeah, that would be a big week.
Yeah. So you're, that's one of the other things as well. I mean, what are your other qualifications are? Because I'm always seeing you sticking needles in yourself. What are you doing? No, you're not a piercer, obviously. This is fitness related as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm currently a level 4 sports massage therapist, but currently working on my level 6 sports massage. But I do a lot of dry needling and instrument assisted work as well. So, a lot of the work that I'll do is sort of sports massage, recovery, rehabilitation. I'll also take people in terms of, you know, I'm a strength and conditioning coach. You know, so I'm taking athletes through to make sure that we're trying to limit injuries in the first place. And then if they do get injured, and like injuries in contact sports like boxing are, you know, just unavoidable. So my job is then to keep the boys as, as fit as possible, recover any of their injuries as fast as possible, to get them back into boot camps and training camps. And then, you know, particularly at the end of their training camp, right before they fight, to get them ready for their fight then. So, there was one time where I'd been messing around and I'd done handstands and stuff, and my knee had come down through my hand and I've broken my scaphoid bone in my thumb, in my hand. And I had the two lads coming in, James Tennyson and Paul Highland, coming in for their last sports massage right before fighting under Ryan Burnett, is it? In the Odyssey. So they were fighting in the Odyssey that weekend, and I had literally just broken my thumb. And I had to go three hours of sports massage. And I mean, literally the sweat was dripping off me, trying to get them finished without telling them that I'd broken my thumb.
Yeah.
And also the egotistical devastation of admitting that I've broken my thumb. and it took me a good 5 more days to admit I had broken my thumb, even though it was black and blue and purple, before going to hospital and getting it put into a cast. But I could still squat because I could just like rest it on the bar. But yeah, I couldn't deadlift or bench for a wee minute.
Front squat, just.
Yeah. Yeah, front squat it, zercher it out, you know. So you know, improvise, adapt and overcome.
Yeah, I've only had a couple of sports massages in my lifetime because I didn't know what an injury was until I turned 30. And then my body was like, I'm not doing this for you anymore. You're going to take some time off.
And, exactly. Yeah.
I sprained my ankle about 2 weeks before. So I was working in the gym and I was doubling up between the gym and the building site, and I sprained my ankle on the building site and was still working in the gym. So I was keeping people going. People were coming in, and like 2 days later, I was doing a shift in the gym and I was on my crutches. One of the guys was like, "What happened to you?" And I was like, I was telling the boys to put away their dumbbells and one of them didn't take it. So I injured myself. But I got a sports massage when I got back, because I took off with my backpack on once I was fit to walk on it. I was worried that I'd broken it, I wouldn't be able to fly. So got myself halfway across the world and had myself in decent shape now before I went away traveling again. And then I found out in Southeast Asia, a beer is about 40p. So I did not come back in as good a shape as I left in.
Do you know, well, like we were saying, you know, you just have to live life and gain those experiences, gather them up, because they'll all be worthwhile somewhere down the line.
Exactly. Comedy is tragedy plus time. Leave it long enough and something stupid that happens to you will be funny eventually. But I got back home and I got a sports massage, and it was on the, you know, the young lady who was doing it was like, "Have you injured yourself here?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, sprained my ankle last year." And she's like, "Did you rehab it properly?" And I was like, "Probably not, because I just sawed it off on my holidays." She goes, "Yeah, because you've got a bit of tissue here." And she ran her thumb up my ankle and I felt like she had stabbed me. I was just like, yeah. I didn't know about calcified muscle and blah blah blah. I was just like,
See, I would have stabbed you at that point. I would have got the dry needles, the acupuncture needles out, and literally stabbed that area until you cried.
So, hang on. Yeah. Would this be to help me or to teach me a lesson for not rehabbing properly?
A bit of both. You deserve both, in fairness.
Jesus, that's a bit harsh. I had plans. I had beaches to go lie on. I had motorbike trips to take in Vietnam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I still actually genuinely now I want to see your ankle and now I want to stick needles in it.
No, it's fine. Let's pretend it's fine. It's not, but let's pretend it is. Okay. I noticed that because I played in a charity football tournament then, and I hadn't realized until. Because obviously grass is a lot softer, and then we were playing on a 3G pitch. So I was playing in my Mondi boots. And afterwards, it was a thing, you could go and get a rub down. It was the lovely ladies, a couple of them were physios. They were doing it for a local charity. I think it was Chest, Heart and Stroke. Go and give them a tenner and you can get a rub down, because it was like an over 30s tournament. So a lot of the guys are a bit older. And one of the girls again was like, "Your knee's quite tight." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And she was like, "Have you injured your ankle before?" And I was like, "Oh, fuck, here we go."
Oh, see, when social distancing is done, right, we are going to do a podcast on dry needling.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Am I going to be recording while you're talking about it and sticking things in me? That's, I don't know about that.
Okay, well then just come up and get it sorted.
Oh, Jesus, that's yet again. I'll have to, can I watch somebody else getting it done first? I don't like I've got tattoos. I'm okay with needles, but I don't know about directly into the muscle. But I suppose it's one of those things that it hurts you and then it heals you. Is that the thing? Is that how it works?
Exactly. It's grand. We can manage it.
Terrifying. So hang on. So strength and conditioning, you're teaching people for qualifications, you're jabbing people needles, you're qualified sports massage. What's next? I mean, you're moving up to your level sixes and stuff, but what's next for you? Or obviously, because you have to be more qualified than the people you're teaching.
I mean, obviously, I'm still working towards my level six, and I'm working towards my master's degree in strength and conditioning. So, you know, I have a few years ahead of me of of hard work. I'm doing my master's, well, my undergraduate and a master's degree with Setanta College in Tipperary. But yeah, so that's where I'm going with at the moment. After that, I genuinely do think I'll probably end up back in university, probably doing a degree in sport and exercise science, more for the testing side of things, you know. But yeah, I think that's where I'm going with it at the moment. I'm hugely interested in testing and energy system testing, all of that, VO2 max testing. I'd love to go down that route as well with the strength and conditioning, or at least a team, you know. So I'd love to look at, you know, what makes people a genetic alpha, you know. So I do have a page set up called Genetic Alpha, and but I haven't done enough with it, you know. You know, I'd like to see, you know, do blood tests and lactic acid tests, VO2, you know, can we really push people, you know, to see, do we have, you know, can we bring that level of quality of training and that level of precision and quality to Northern Ireland, you know, that is available, you know, in Canada, America, Australia, even in the UK to a large extent, you know. You know, I think considering how small our population is, we actually produce incredible athletes that perform at the highest levels. You know, you look at our boxers, you look at our sprinters, or even, you know, our swimmers. You know, we have incredible athletes here in Northern Ireland, even in the whole of Ireland, you know. So it would be amazing to provide them with testing and training that meets the needs of, you know, a world level competition.
Just obviously be careful with that, because Russia tried that and they got banned from the Olympics. So go easy.
Yeah. Okay.
In the 1980s, there were East German women with beards. So just be careful what you give them. Right. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. They were brilliant at the shot, but they definitely had testicles. So.
Oh my god. <Yeah. That's bad. laughs> Oh
no. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see how everyone comes out of this. And as you're saying, I mean, I think the gym is going to be very similar to what we are talking about in the comedy community, which is we'd all love it if people all rushed back to see us, but people may be apprehensive still, or we'll have to see what the restrictions are. And because I don't want to do anything, while I want to get back to work and do what I do, I don't want to do anything that's going to endanger anybody or make this fucking worse. I'd rather suffer it for a longer time so we can enjoy it more at the other side.
Like 100%, completely agree. Here's the thing, you know, every single life is priceless and irreplaceable. I mean, you know, if it's yours, if it's your family, your loved ones are priceless and irreplaceable. We have to consider that everybody's loved one is priceless and irreplaceable, irrelevant of underlying health conditions, irrelevant of age or if they're in nursing homes. You know, we have an absolute duty of care to each other, to consider each other absolutely priceless and irreplaceable. You know, we can't be selfish and think, oh, well, you know, I'm losing out here. My business is losing out. Every single life that's lost to this is priceless and irreplaceable. And I just keep saying to myself, you know, businesses, we will come, we will go. But the one thing is life continues. As long as life continues, you know, we don't know. If you ended up with COVID, nobody knows how it's going to affect you. And, you know, they're talking about now the effect that it has on kidneys, the fact that they don't have enough, never mind respirators, they don't have enough dialysis machines for the damage that it's doing to the kidneys. I mean, that alone is absolutely terrifying on the secondary damage it's doing to other organs, you know, and that's why we went into organ failure with COVID, you know. So we have to consider that we have a duty of care, that yes, we do need to have a business, we do need to open up, but we will do that in a staged way and in a very safe way. because at the end of the day, we can't risk a second bounce. And you know what? It's only going to make the opening up even harder in the long term. So you know what? We just need to suffer it out, suck it up, and work through it. We'll adhere to whatever the government say that we need to do and keep people safe. First and foremost, we need to keep people safe because, you know, there are ways to work. And yes, I've had to adjust really quickly, but that's fine. I'll adjust, you know, I'll do a bit more online, and, you know, even just trying to do, you know, videos for free on Facebook, on my private Facebook page, you know, to make sure that people are at least being motivated to train at home. You know, you just have to do what you can, you know. Yeah. But you're, well, you're right. It'll be staged and phased and it'll take its time.
Well, I know all about that underlying health risk, so got to be careful on that one myself.
Yeah, no. I'm the same. I'm the same.
Yeah, wheezy. It ain't easy being wheezy. But one of the things, we should probably leave it on that. I mean, obviously that's a very important message that you've just said there now, but we'll try and leave it on a lighter note with obviously all the stuff. Obviously all the stuff that you do and what you try to do online. What's the, because as a comedian, the number one thing people want to know about is bad gigs. They don't want to hear about when you did a really good job, when everybody loved your stuff. They want to hear about what's it like? What's your worst gig? So I wanted to flip that onto you in the fitness aspect of things. What's the dumbest thing you've seen online during all this? Apart from the usual like skinny coffee and all that bollocks.
Oh, dumbest thing. Oh, God, I'm trying to think. I mean, God, there's so many. I think, can I tell you about the thing that infuriated me most?
Absolutely. This is an opinion podcast. Yeah. Tell me.
I mean, personally, I come from a background where I want to see people... I want to see people do well and live normal, healthy lives and develop a healthy lifestyle. And, you know, I've seen, you know, there's many ways to skin a cat. And, you know, there's these companies out there that, you know, are trying to sell you quick, easy ways. And, you know, I had a friend that put up a podcast basically trying to explain why he advocates people eating real, whole, healthy food as much as possible and why these meal replacements are perhaps not the best option for you. And you know, he got absolutely trounced and hassled and legal hassle, and the company that he named and mentioned, you know, are going to bring legal action against him. And you know, I just think, my God, like, if you, you know, if you have such a product that is so sensitive to being criticized, you know, you need to have a better product. I had put a comment under his post saying that I agreed and, you know, we clappy hands and all that. And then I got targeted and trolled by the same people trying to hound me to come to a presentation where I could be, I could listen and I could be educated by them as to why their product is so good. And I just kind of thought, you know what, if you're that, I mean, really, at the end of the day, you know, I'm advocating good, healthy food, and, you know, to be trolled by people, you know, to me, that just says there's something bad about your approach, your product. You know, if you feel the need that you can't take criticism on board, there's something wrong there. I mean, you know, if any product can't withstand criticism, or at least, you know, I just couldn't believe that for like 48 hours I was trolled by somebody based on one comment I'd left on one post. You know, it just defied belief.
Well, I mean, that's really a personal opinion. So what does it matter? As long as you're not doing anything that's unsafe or will actually harm somebody, then have your opinion. And yeah, the best thing to do is... Yeah. Eat good food, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line, like, if people want to sell meal replacements and do all that stuff, if you can sleep in your bed at night and that pays your bills, you can knock yourself out to next week. I don't care. I really don't care. But it's just not what I choose to do. And trying to force me into an alternative belief just wasn't the way to go. I mean, certainly if you know me, it's not certainly the way to go. But other than that, do you know what? Actually, you said, what's the worst thing I've seen? That was pretty bad. But actually, do you know what? To leave it on a happy note, I've actually been hugely impressed with what I've seen out there about people doing their training, posting their training, encouraging others to get involved, encouraging the 5Ks. Do you know, like, I'm just really actually very impressed with the kind of community support, the feeling of, guys, I'm going to post this up here for free. I want you to join in for free. And people really getting out, walking, cycling, or getting a kettlebell and doing a bit of work in their garden and trying to stay fit and healthy. To be honest, I've just been really impressed with people, you know, and really impressed with the gyms as well, giving out equipment or hiring out equipment and setting up groups. I mean, I don't know. I think it's been an incredibly, whilst, yes, COVID has been a terrible experience and traumatic to anybody that's lost somebody, there's been so many good things that have come out of it as well. Like, I've never felt more connected to people in a particular way, you know, so in terms of community, and I've seen the absolute best from people over the last few weeks, you know, in terms of, people wanting to be supportive or offering support after all of this, or to help me pick up the pieces, or just genuinely coming on and saying, thanks for putting that post up. I tried it. It was really good. It's motivating me. You know, so I don't know. I've seen really positive stuff from other people in the industry, and I've just been really impressed with what they've done. You know, so I think fair play to them.
All right, yeah.
And fair play to people still standing and, you know, trying to keep their fitness levels up. I think it's been good for everybody.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna let you go, and you can fuck off your positivity. Okay. No, that's good. I'm glad you did it. One of the things that I do want to leave you on, and just something we can talk, obviously this will be on, this is audio, so probably only you'll get to enjoy this. If you're on any of the Alpha, follow the social medias and stuff, you'll see that Emma, usually after doing one of her workouts, will post a photo of how tired you are or how proud you are that you did the workout and stuff. And you apparently have more gym gear than a Gymshark clearance sale. So I wanted to show off mine today. So I actually have, this is one of my t-shirts that I wear to the gym. This is the Leonardo da Vinci's The Vitruvian Man, but it's actually the Incredible Hulk and Bruce Banner. How cool is that?
That's pretty epic.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Leonardo da Vinci. I love Vitruvian Man.
Yeah, I figured you like all that. The anatomy in joke there. That's pretty good.
Oh, my AMP tingles are just tingling right now. That's class.
You nerd. Okay. So, Emma, we will let you go. So give me a reminder of the website before you go, just so we can hammer home of where people should go and check out your stuff.
Well, probably the best place to get us is on Facebook, Alpha Training NI or Alpha High Performance Gym.
If you want to go check out the new gym when it reopens, and you can go and have a wander about.
Brilliant. I can't wait to see everybody. Can't wait to see you, Don. You better join.
You are too far away from me. I will come down and visit you and say hi and arm wrestle your kids, but I'm not coming to training gym, okay? It's too far. I'll come and train in it now. There's nobody there. You just stand across the room and I'll train in the corner. Brilliant.
No
okay.
problem.
Emma Brennan, thank you very much for coming on board. And we'll chat to you again. If we get anything more interesting coming up, or if you've anything coming up, get in touch and we'll get you back on. Sound good?
Brilliant. Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much. Emma, say bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.